A statement issued this lunchtime by the Gardaí Representative Association has criticised what it says was a clear delay in the deployment of the Public Order Unit. The association, which represents rank and file Gardaí, says this potentially exposed members to extremely volatile and dangerous conditions. The Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, is with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The GRA say the Gardaí authorities took too long to send in the Public Order Unit. Do they have a point?
Well, firstly, can I just say I think we need to be clear as to what did and didn't happen yesterday. A person was assaulted, so a member of the security that's on site there was assaulted. A JCB and other private property was set alight or was attacked, and members of An Garda Síochána were attacked with stones, with whatever people could pick up and throw at them. This was not legitimate protest. This was criminal behaviour. This was arson. This was assault. And that's why we had 15 people before the courts, a special sitting last night, four more today, and 30 in total arrested. Gardaí responded quickly. They responded in force. I spoke to the Garda Commissioner very early on yesterday as this was unfolding and emerging earlier on in the day. And at that stage, public order units were being deployed, were being brought to the site. And as we know, throughout the day, between public order units, three of which were there, as well as the frontline Gardaí, there were well over 200 members who were there actively dealing with what was a really challenging situation.
But were those units sent in quickly enough? Because the GRA, who represent rank and file Gardaí, people who were on the ground yesterday having rocks thrown at them, they say the delay was too long.
There's no question that this was an extremely difficult situation for Gardaí, and I cannot commend them enough. No person, be it a security guard or a member from An Garda Síochána, should have that level of assault or violence geared towards them when they're doing their job, when they're protecting us and keeping us safe.
But on their specific point, should the public order unit have been sent in more quickly?
It's up to the Garda Commissioner, to senior management and to those who are operating on the ground as to how resources are deployed. And Gardaí will always use a graduated response. We've seen right across the country different scenarios where there's been movement and changes in direct provision centres, where issues have arisen and where Gardaí have deployed resources as needed. As I've said, I spoke with the Garda Commissioner very early on yesterday, and at that stage, while this incident had only just happened, the resources were being deployed and Gardaí were on the ground. And of course, you know, we need to make sure that they have what they need when they're on the ground as well, whether it's batons, whether it's spray.
Entirely clear then, are you entirely satisfied with the policing response? Because it's clear that the GRA isn't.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody looking at what happened yesterday could not be supportive of the way in which Gardaí responded, the level of Gardaí that we had on the ground in response to what was a very challenging and emerging situation. You had different groups emerging at different times, you had different incidents, not just at the site at Crown Paints, but at other parts across the community. And Gardaí responded effectively, but they also brought this under control very quickly. That's why we have significant...
It did last for several hours, though, to be fair. I mean, we saw a situation quite late on in the day where buses were being surrounded.
But I think what people have also seen is that Gardaí responded effectively. We had 30 people arrested throughout the day. You had 15 people at a special sitting of the court last night, as I've said, four more at the courts today. And what Gardaí now will do, because we had for the first time body-worn cameras on Gardaí, which meant that they could actually, for the first time, get a clear picture of what happened on the ground. And that in itself will lend to any further arrests, any further prosecutions, any further people before the courts, in making sure that we deter this type of behaviour. Because I have to be clear, and just to Paul, who spoke earlier, I mean, this does not reflect the vast majority of the community in Coolock and surrounding areas who do fantastic work on the ground. But we do have to be very clear, this is not acceptable behaviour. It's not legitimate protest. It's not going to be solved by greater communication or suggested greater communication.
And we can come to that communication. We can come to that communication point in a moment. But just to clarify something, and I'm not saying that this was a solution to what happened yesterday, but we were told after the Dublin riot in November that the state would be borrowing water cannon from the north. Did that happen?
Well, firstly, we're actually procuring our own. So a decision was taken that we would have our own should we need it in certain circumstances.
So we aren't borrowing water cannon from the north?
If we need it in the interim. So it obviously takes time for something like this to be bought and to be purchased. And that's underway at the moment. That decision has already been taken. But it was decided that this was not needed yesterday. If it was needed, it would have been used. However, the decision was taken. And again, you know, it's used in certain circumstances where you have large groups of people. And while we had quite a number of people yesterday, there were disparate groups There were people moving in different directions in different areas. So the decision, and again, that has to be a decision by senior management, by those on the ground. The Garda Commissioner himself was on the ground yesterday, making sure that resources that were needed were there.
In the event that he did decide that water cannon was needed, would water cannon be available?
Absolutely. But as I said,
they're in Dublin at the moment, are they?
No, but they can be deployed very quickly. And if they are needed, we can make sure that we have them. But a number of decisions, and to your point, were taken last year following on what happened in Dublin City Centre in November to make sure that Gardaí had what they needed. And you could see that reflected yesterday. So they had stronger incapacitant spray, which meant that they could respond more effectively. They had greater batons and shields. We have more people being trained up for public order units. But you also had body cameras on Gardaí, which we wouldn't have had last November.
And you've mentioned the body camera, and indeed Drew Harris has as well. And I know you say that communication wouldn't have solved what happened yesterday. That's your point of view. But isn't the reality that this situation was allowed to fester for months? I mean, those protests began in late March.
I think it's a very dangerous thing for us to connect a perceived lack of communication with what we saw yesterday. Yesterday was violent criminal disorder. This was not legitimate protest. This was not, you know, the concerns that people might raise around integration and supporting communities and making sure resources and supports are there for people who genuinely might be fleeing war and coming from very traumatised situations, who need to be able to integrate and have the support of communities. Any amount of communication would not have deterred some of those that we saw yesterday. And I think we should separate the two.
But do local councillors then, do they have a point when they say that there has been a lack of true community engagement?
I've been informed very clearly that from last March, there's been engagement. Throughout April, there was engagement. In May, there was engagement. But you have to remember, this is only at the stage where this site is being prepared to be put in a place where people can actually be then brought on site. So this is at the early stages. So information is being provided as it's there, as it's available. There's nobody going to be moved onto this site without further engagement with the community, looking at what the needs might be. We do know the numbers. We do know that it will be men, women, children, families, you know, from all backgrounds who are seeking protection. Okay. But you have to look at the fact that this is the early stages. We have lots of projects happening across the country and they're all moving at different stages. And as that information comes on stream, it's been provided to the community. But no person has a right to veto who comes into their community.
And that's what was being suggested yesterday. As you're talking about the broader situation, just finally on this, we know that the Minister of State, Joe O'Brien, has complained in the past about the lack of an overall communications plan on immigration. Basically, the government isn't selling its message. Will such a plan be put in place? And why hasn't it been put in place before now?
We are working on a national plan to supplement and to complement the work that's been done by, for instance, Minister Joe O'Brien, whose focus is on integration and on communicating
with communities. But shouldn't that have been in place before now?
But this is happening now. This is happening in terms of engagement directly with individual communities, a wider campaign giving people the facts around migration, why migration is happening, why we have more people coming to the country, how a person goes through the direct provision system, all of these issues. That is being worked on and that will be developed and worked through with all of the various different
When's
departments.
When's it likely to be in place, do you know?
That's ongoing and that work is ongoing. But